This is Pure Decking Show number 429 for Thursday, March the 25th, 1911. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and drinking to dull the brain pain. Fox is here. What's up, Fox?
Yeah, another day. Another depressing news story, you know.
What are we drinking?
Bundaberg ginger beer right now because I'm out of booze.
Ooh. Well, you know, worse things have happened. Not much, but, you know.
I've been told to mix that with scotch.
Yes.
Now, I kind of want to because it sounds interesting, but then I'm like, why would you put beer in scotch when you could just have scotch?
So the ginger beer, it's got a good spice to it. I recommend like Jameson. Like Jameson and ginger, that's a pretty good one. It does make for a good mix. It also pairs quite well with Captain Morgan spice rum. It's non-alcoholic on its own, but
I got you. Well, Madman, what are you drinking?
I am drinking Woodford Reserve.
Ooh, good man.
Oh, I had something else. But then we started talking about ginger beer and scotch, and I forgot what I was going to say.
I understand. I'm actually drinking Apothic Inferno tonight, so, which is a wine.
Ah. Red or what?
Reds. I'm almost exclusively reds for wines that I like.
There's this high altitude wine stuff I've been thinking of trying, but not that much of a fanboy of Dave Rubin to write down what he's suggesting.
Fair enough. Are you? What horrific thing are you dealing with at the moment? Are you's not back yet? Never mind.
Dealing with not having booze and having to drink water for the moment.
Oh, flaming koalas. Whether or not he's actually dealing with those, he should be. So he's currently dealing with flaming koalas attacking his house. And you can go weird gay joke with that, or koalas that are actually on fire because they're both funny to think about.
I was actually envisioning
flaming gay koalas that are actually on fire.
Oh.
That would be fabulous! Look at my nails! Will I gouge your eyes out?
I was imagining that it was like a zombie scenario where RU's house is just out in the middle of the outback and he's out there with the shotgun shooting the flaming koalas as they shamble closer.
Oh. That'd be a fun
little
game.
Well, he'll be back eventually.
Oh, that could be a first-person shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Just make up random shit and those are your enemies? You have to defend your home from them?
Oh, no. It's going to be based in the outback, so they're all going to be some weird version of an existing Aussie animal. We could have flaming koalas. We could have the
toxic emus.
No. What was Rocco from Rocco's Modern Life?
He's a wallaby.
Wallaby.
Wallabies that teabag you. Teabagging wallabies. And you get a humiliation achievement if they actually kill you.
You have like a bin chicken that comes around and steals all your shit.
Yes.
I bought one of those 3D game engine makers on Steam a while back. We can figure out how to work that. Somebody get me some 3D models. We'll make a... We'll have to come up with the name of the game, but...
Crikey.
It's just crikey. We're trying to get RU pissed off enough so he'll fly back to the States to kick us in the balls. Then we can all hang out.
I don't think that's possible anymore.
Oh,
I've been called everything under the fucking sun now.
Well, just outside of the IHN intro, you mean.
10 plus years in this channel, dude. If you haven't, skin hasn't hardened as fuck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were going. We found one of the documents from where we tried to restart IHN, and I found some of the other intros that we had written but never used. It was like, oh, man, I was mean. So. Anyways,
fucking funny, dude.
So what?
It's not it's not a funny joke unless someone in the room isn't crying.
Well,
well it's kind of like the strippers. It's so much fun when they're crying.
Yeah, lap dance is always better.
If it's not deeply offensive, you ain't hitting the mark.
I knew I was winning when I did the very special one, and you actually stopped the show to say "fuck you." So, I mean,
I think it's proven that if you're an inoffensive comedian, you're probably raping people with pudding pops. You know what I mean? If you keep it too clean, I'm a little sus if you're a comedian.
Oh, would it be inappropriate to do a bad Cosby impression or not? I don't know anymore.
Hey, it's Fat Albert.
I mean, if you're a stand-up comic that isn't addicted to some sort of drug or alcohol, then I'm suspicious.
You're probably not funny.
Yeah, you're probably not funny.
It's just not funny.
To start with. Then if you don't use profanity as well, I'm super suspicious about what you're up to. Then if you identify as a male feminist, I know you're a fucking rapist at that point.
I have nowhere to go from that, actually.
I have a lot of places to go, but I pulled out because
you
that's
want
my
to...
rhythm method, baby.
Wow. Just,
yeah. I went there.
He did. He did go there. All right. Well, let's just dive in here. This is one I thought would be interesting to talk about because there's an easy solution to this, but I know how flippant it comes across. So the article's from Vice. Amazon delivery drivers are forced to sign biometric consent forms or lose their jobs.
Wow.
So Amazon delivery drivers nationwide have to sign a biometric consent form this week that grants the tech behemoth permission to use AI-powered cameras to access the driver's location, movement, and biometric data. Employee number 5629, your pulse has risen. Please resume a more happy demeanor or the beatings will continue. smile. If the company's delivery drivers, who number around 75,000 in the United States, refuse to sign these forms, they could lose their jobs. The form requires drivers to agree to facial recognition and other biometric data collection within the trucks they drive. Quote, Amazon may use certain technology that processes biometric information, including onboard safety camera technology, which collects your photograph for the purposes of confirming your identity and connecting you to your driver account, the form reads. Using your photograph, this technology may create biometric information and collect and store and use biometric information from such photographs. It adds that, quote, this technology tracks vehicle location and movement, including miles driven, speed, acceleration, braking turns, and following distance. As a condition of delivering packages for Amazon, you consent to the use of the technology. In February, Amazon announced plans to install the AI-powered four-lens cameras made by the tech company Netradyne in all of its Amazon-branded delivery vans. The company says cameras are being used to improve, quote, safety and the, quote, quality of the delivery experience. Quality of the delivery is the box on my fucking doorstep in one piece or not? What else is there to a delivery experience? I mean, the driver's not exactly giving toss jobs when you open the door.
Well, I mean,
it could become part of the delivery experience.
Yeah, I've seen a premium package. I've seen a few videos out there that the driver did end up giving a good toss job.
If you sign up to our premium delivery experience,
we won't smash your package before we deliver it.
Yeah. Sign up for the hot driver for just $9.95 extra.
Oh, here's your Amazon delivery. You want happy ending?
Is that
they deliver you wrong time?
Is this entrapment? Because the cops did this once.
I don't know. It's just a bad joke. But as Thomson Reuters reported earlier this month, some drivers are quitting their jobs because of privacy concerns. The Netradyne cameras are able to sense when a driver yawns, appears distracted, or isn't wearing a seatbelt, according to product description, and monitors drivers' body and facial movements. They've got a bunch of, they've got the full text of the thing you have to agree to electronically. Netradyne cameras are used to help keep drivers in communities where we deliver safer, said Deborah Bass, spokesperson for Amazon. We piloted the technology from April to October 2020 on over 2 million miles of delivery routes, and the results produced remarkable driver and community safety improvements. Accidents decreased 48%, stop sign violations decreased 20%, driving without a seatbelt decreased 60%, and distracted driving decreased 45%. Don't believe the self-interested critics who claim these cameras are intended for anything other than safety. Technically, these drivers aren't even employed by Amazon, but by roughly 800 companies known as delivery service partners that operate out of Amazon delivery stations. Still, Amazon controls many aspects of its drivers' working conditions, from their training to their uniforms to the delivery quotas. Quote, I had one driver who refused to sign, the owner of an Amazon delivery company in the Pacific Northwest told Motherboard. Motherboard granted the business owner anonymity because they feared retaliation from Amazon. It's a heartbreaking conversation when somebody tells you that you're their favorite person they've ever worked for, but Amazon just micromanages them too much. And, you know, I think that's probably the thing. I think they're right in that it is largely for safety, but I think there's a scene in Snow Crash where they've got YT's mom who's working in an office and she's reviewing people's performance statistics because there was a memo they sent out that people were supposed to spend a certain amount of time reading. And they were judging whether somebody took too long or took exactly the right amount of time, which meant they were a prick or, you know, whatever like that. And that's what I see going on with this kind of shit, right? Where it's just, oh, you yawned. That's 20 points off. Lose too many points and you don't get paid for the day. And I mean, some people aren't going to care, but if they're really going to micromanage the fuck out of you with that, you should quit.
It's the only gig in town, dude.
Well, that's the problem, right?
The economics in America and most of the world have been crushed. You'll take what you can get unless you're of a certain race and then are eligible for the UBI. And once again, there'll be nothing but white dudes driving Amazon trucks everywhere. And we'll have another problem.
I mean, how do you define...
You don't need a fucking crystal ball. You just need to read the fucking news.
I'm just thinking, how do you define an intolerable workplace environment? And if you think AI cameras monitoring your every move is intolerable...
But it's for your safety, Morps. Why would you go against something that's for your safety? That's the argument here. Like, which room does your computer live in? Tell you how much to exercise a day? Are you doing that? Remember, we watched that House of the Future thing, dude. The computer will control you.
That guy hated his house computer. And probably the worst part is he still paid for it. He hated it.
He still paid for it. He still fucking lives there. You've got the choice. Go out in the backyard, pitch a tent. You don't have to fucking do it. I mean, a lot of people are going to have to start realizing you don't have to. You have self-determination and autonomy. Put in the effort for yourself. You don't have to follow this world. You can break away and do it yourself. Yes, it's fucking harder and it's scarier, but that's what it's called life. There's nothing guaranteed. So fucking take it by the balls and don't guarantee anything. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Or be subservient, get your fucking paycheck, and just be fucking miserable.
Well, that's
I'd rather
just the
take
thing.
My chances on the road, my friend.
Well, that's and I don't disagree with the sentiment of what you're saying. Maybe some of the details of it I might argue with you on. But the thing is, if it really is just for safety, I mean, is it that big of a deal? I mean, people are quitting over it. But Amazon doesn't have a great track record of the way they monitor their employees.
Well, it's not just for safety. They're keeping track of where you are and how you're getting it, whether you're getting your quotas.
And again, is that actually a problem? Management.
Do I come back with boxes at the end of the day? I haven't met my quota.
It depends on what the quota is and what your driving range is. Some companies do set unrealistic quotas.
Oh, they should form a union. I'm sorry.
Actually, I think some Amazon employees are trying.
They're not keeping their jobs when they try to do it, though.
No, they're not.
They always seem to have poor workplace evaluations the next time around.
Totally related, of course.
Exactly. You know.
And I don't have a problem with that.
So does Amazon monitor your phone calls that you take while on the job?
I don't know. Sure, but, ask anybody who works there.
I don't know, man. Like, I'd assume mobile phones aren't allowed on the floor of their, what are they, fulfillment centers?
Well, on this, it's not even Amazon's employees. Amazon is wanting to track subcontractors. So these might be my employees. I just run a delivery service out of my town that doesn't just do Amazon. That Amazon will probably be my largest customer. But they're wanting to put biometric trackers in my vans for the people that are working for Amazon or contracting with Amazon that week.
Well, maybe it would help, and I didn't make this extremely clear. The reason I wanted to read up this article wasn't because Amazon's putting trackers in their trucks. UPS and FedEx have done that for years. And, I mean, you even read reviews of people who work for these guys who talk about being seconds behind schedule and getting reamed out by their manager for it. So, you know, I don't think it's anything new that they're putting trackers in the trucks. Using the cameras is a little bit new, but I've got cameras in my
office. Yeah, see, like even commercial truck drivers, like they're all GPS tracked. Like they know exactly where they are, how fast they're going.
Sure.
How many like miles they've gone between rests.
So, but the more generally point I wanted to get at, more generally, companies are getting a little bit more onerous in the requirements they're putting on, especially their lower-level employees, right? And it just in general, I mean, is the right response to that is just to have people mass quit when a company does a bad policy? Because, I mean, that is hard to do, especially if you're, you know, doing paycheck to paycheck.
I mean, what's the point, though? You've got, you know, hundreds of thousands of people who are willing to work there. Your protest quitting is not going to do dick.
You have to decide.
Yeah, you have to decide. Are you going to eat it or are you just going to, you know, fucking try something else?
I mean, and how far is too far? Because, you know, like you said, it, you know, you're doing the kind of being a little sarcastic of it's for safety. Why would you object to this? Well, I mean, if they're going to get on you for yawning while driving, then, you know, good fucking luck. But
oh, they do. They're tracking your eye movement and everything.
Yeah.
You know, say you fucking see something catches your eye, like a nice car or something. You look at it, bang, you're going to get written up for inattention.
Time for mirrored sunglasses and koof masks.
Yeah, good point.
You just have the inflatable driver that the camera sees. Or like even better, you cut out a little photograph and tape it over the lens of the camera.
Actually, you hit a good point there, Fox. Now that koof masks are pretty much you know, accepted by the community.
Especially if you're wearing two of them.
Yeah, with the little Mexican nose one as well.
That's the fucking weirdest shit.
Dude, the cult of the mask is fucking amazing, isn't it?
I'm just waiting to see like people walking around with like two or three of them strapped on their forehead, one on an arm, you know, just
using them like
Durka,
fucking
Durka.
They'll come out with some sort of patch you can wear, you know, in substitute of your mask, like anti-smoking things to help you wean yourself off the cock muzzle.
I figured they would be done with once we had the vaccine.
People are
losing their shit at politicians who won't wear the mask. And it's like, there was something I saw with Ted Cruz where a reporter yelled at him because he took his mask, because he wouldn't wear a mask. And he said, well, why would I? I'm getting ready to talk to a camera and everyone up here has been vaccinated. And
exactly. It's like fucking Fauci walking around with two masks on, even though he's immune. Like he's got the fucking vaccine. Why have the vaccine if you still have to wear the mask? Anyway, that's
variants, because you got to watch out for the variants. So it's like any disease now? Well, that's what they really want, is they want to be able to just dictate your life to you because of, you know, any potential medical malady. I mean, that's a it's a control issue. It's not a medical issue.
It is. That's all it is, man.
But I don't really want to dig into the masks too much, because at the same time, if a business says, hey, wear a mask before you walk in, I can respect the owner of the business enough to say, okay, well, that's their rules. But
I can too, as long as he respects the fact that I'm probably not going to go into his shop.
Well, there you go. And that's fine.
Don't go appealing to the TV cameras in a couple weeks' time because you're going bankrupt and people don't like you for some reason or another that's not the mask.
Some state, okay, I knew some states had dropped their mask mandates. I didn't know states actually had. DP View says there's already states that have anti-mask mandates for their reference.
Why do you need an anti-mask?
I mean, Jesus, if you take the state Christ mandate away, it's then just up to whatever business, right? That's fine. But, or, you know, local cities or whatever, if the city's got something still going on. But I don't, you know what? I don't get it. It's not really where I meant to go with this. But, I mean, when is it too onerous? And do you just bend over and take it? Because you need a job.
You have two options. You can either take it or quit. And if it's too onerous, I'll quit. There hasn't been a situation where there's only been one job available in any town I've lived in. Now, quitting may involve a pay cut, but if the situation is unbearable at my place of employment, I'll take a pay cut. I'll quit.
If it's that bad, yeah.
I think it'll come in and happen in more workplaces. Just a test run. Just a test.
Well, it's like, I know cameras always shooting on your face, or just cameras in the workplace?
Like, biometrics in the workplace, man. I mean, it won't be long before you have to submit probably a random blood test or some shit as you go in, like just the pinprick one.
That one, I would say, is going too far. I could understand if it's for safety, fingerprints coming into a building. I could live with that. But I wouldn't consent to a blood test.
It's for safety. What if you have some bloodborne thing that you could infect other people with? For safety, madman. It's common sense safety.
Had symptoms and not shown up to work that day.
But just in case you do, it's for other people's safety. Wait, you want to kill other people? Is that your fucking thing?
What kind of?
Yep. I'm just being a jackass, dude, because that's how the conversation goes.
You want to just sit at home with your curtains closed, buy things in cash.
No. I don't want to kill other people. I want to help work towards herd immunity. And one of the best ways to be immune to a disease is to have it.
Now, have you been treating your employees so badly that they're obese land whales because they don't get to move? You should have exercise periods at your place of employment.
Oh, yes.
Without increasing my work hours.
Ooh, and we can do little bells, you know, to tell you when the work period has stopped so that they know to go to the go outside and to the playground. I mean, the employee exercise. And then we can have another little bell bringing them right back in. So it's just like what they were used to in elementary school.
I'm betting the building you're thinking about, Morps, for this workplace employment has nets around it to stop employees from clocking out early, shall we say.
Well, I mean, if somebody decides to yeet themselves off the side of the building, that's potentially lost revenue and lost hours, not to mention the company has invested so much time in their training. We can't afford these losses. So
there will be fines to the family if the employee decides to clock out early.
Oh, dude, you have just gone right to the top CEO, brother. That is a fantastic way to recuperate our costs for employees that want to check out early.
Not to mention the cleaning bill.
You know, somebody fucking, some of these Chinese fucking spies or whatever, just going, fuck, I'm going to get a pay raise. We should start doing this at Foxconn. It's charging the families.
Oh, you want to work at Foxconn? Well, since you were born into the company, we'll provide your education so that you can work for us.
Yeah.
And if you're lucky, you'll die broke.
Yeah.
But happy, because you had nothing.
God. Welcome to dystopia. Foxconn,
they do pay better than the other jobs.
we should be writing dystopian novels. Oh, wait, this is just reality now. Damn it.
It's reality.
Yeah.
What's next on the list?
This is from cybernews.com. 11 million records of French users were stolen from a marketing platform and put for sale online. A user on a popular hacking forum is selling a database that purportedly contains close to 11 million user records stolen from Apollo, a U.S.-based sales engagement and digital marketing company. These are the assholes who, quote-unquote, generate leads, which is, you know, one of the reasons why I get 12 phone calls a day from various security companies who want to know if antivirus is part of my day-to-day job. Because they want to, you know, sell me their third-party contract for Sophos or Symantec or some other fucking thing. Or, you know, do you have a minute to talk about your digital privacy strategy? No. No, I don't. By the way. I get so many of these fucking calls. They've started calling my personal cell phone after hours, too. It's like somebody got my fucking cell phone number and put it in these things, and they're calling, like, at 7 o'clock at night. I get a phone call from fucking, what was this last one? I actually ended up blocking their number because they were calling so fucking often. Wasn't Trustwave. Who was it? Scroll through the old block list here. StealthBits. Yeah, so if you work for StealthBits, go fuck yourself.
What's the name of the product you're selling? That's great. Can I get your company name? Wonderful. You've just got on a blacklist. My business will not do business with yours for as long as I work there.
I have been. I have told several vendors that our company maintains a no cold calling policy, and if they cold call, I have to add them to the list. What's your company name? And they usually hang up on me right away. The problem is they call back, you know, about 6 weeks later. And every time you tell them, you know, please put me on your do not contact list. This is the third time I've told you this. And if you call me again, I'm reporting it to the company lawyer as harassment. Usually, again, they hang up on you and call you 6 months later. And it's going to be some new sales rep who's never talked to you before. My favorite is, hey, you know that we met at that conference. I didn't go to a conference. What? And since the first thing you said to me was a lie, I don't want to do business with you. And then you just hang up on them. The problem is they usually call back right away. My favorite are the ones who, now this hasn't been as much since we've all been from home. My favorite are the ones who will call my phone. Then they'll call one of my coworkers' phones. Then they'll call my boss's phone. Then they start calling all the Cube phones out in our, it's the same fucking company. Just calling every single person that they've got on that contact list. You know, who works for, you know, works for my team. Trying to get somebody to accept a meeting.
We used to have a couple soundboards set up where, oh yeah, let me transfer to my boss. We got one person on the line for God, probably like 20 or 30 minutes, talking to our HR director. Her name is Cleo. She spoke with a little bit of a Jamaican accent, but she was really excited to hear what this guy had to say. And
anyways, I guess we should get, meanwhile, back at the point. The files contained in the leak include a wide variety of information about the 9,030 France-based users whose data has been purportedly stolen, including full name, phone number, location coordinates, so GPS. So I wonder where they got that from. What app is selling your data to these guys? Workplace information, social media profiles, and more. The author of the post did not provide any additional information of how the data was exfiltrated from Apollo. It's also unclear if the threat actor is in possession of more than just the French portion of the Apollo customer database, or if the stolen database is taken from a previous breach suffered by the company. We asked Apollo if they could confirm the leak was genuine and whether they had alerted their users and clients, but received no reply from the company. No shit.
Yeah, news that should surprise no one.
Let's see. See if any of your accounts. Yeah, they get a link to a thing here. I don't know is how good. What was leaked? Based on the samples they saw from the leak archive, it appeared to contain mostly professional information about the users, potentially collected by Apollo from their LinkedIn profiles. There it is. Full name, personal and professional email addresses, phone numbers, location coordinates of users and their employees, or employers. professional data, including current and past employment positions, as well as detailed employer information, links to LinkedIn profiles. Yeah, Apollo's a San Francisco-based software company, developers of digital platform that helps businesses find prospects for marketing. According to Apollo themselves, the company conducts quarterly security audits, regular penetration tests, and intrusion detection systems online. With that said, not the first time Apollo has had their data leaked. Back in 2018, the company faced criticism after a database containing 200 million user records had been breached by threat actors. So the data found in the Apollo database can be used for a wide variety of ways of conducting phishing, spamming, brute forcing passwords, blah, blah, blah. So again, this is a fairly typical leak, but it's just fucking obnoxious that companies are still doing this. Let's just slurp all your data up into one place and then not secure it correctly.
It just really, really kind of makes the selling point for just have one Microsoft password.
So now they just have to guess one of my passwords instead of five.
And get all of your shit. And if you happen to work for a company that has access to other people's shit, they're going to get all that too. And yeah, and those nice intrusion detection systems that everybody has, almost nobody ever has them set to actively block. They're all usually set to alert only. So it generates a bunch of emails that nobody sees till the next morning that somebody moved all of your data somewhere else. And 9 times out of 10, it's an unmonitored mailbox or mailing list, so nobody does anything about it until they get the notice from the press. Along the same lines, this one's from hackread.com. As seen by hackread.com, among other sensitive data, the database includes the guns.com administrator, WordPress, and cloud login credentials in plain text. Yeah, somebody hacked guns.com. Want to bet that was politically motivated? As the domain name indicates, guns.com is a major Minnesota U.S.-based platform to buy and sell guns online. Also home to news and updates for gun owners and enthusiasts around the world. However, on March 9th, 2021, database apparently belonging to guns.com was dumped on an infamous hacker forum. The actor behind the data dump claims that it includes a complete database of guns.com along with its source code. There's a kick in the dick. They further added that the breach took place somewhere around the end of 2020 and that the data was sold privately, meaning on Telegram channels or dark web marketplaces. According to HackRead's analysis, the data contains highly sensitive information of guns.com's administrators and customers, including full names, user IDs, almost 400,000 email addresses, password hashes, physical addresses, zip codes, city, state, Magneto IDs, phone numbers, account creation date, and folders in the leaked database include customers' bank details. So they got full name, banking information, account type, Dawala IDs. They do not see credit card or VCC numbers. So that makes me even more think that this is politically motivated because, you know, if you actually had the entire back end and it's eBay for firearms, basically, why wouldn't you dump out all the payment information? Because you don't care about stealing these people's money. You don't want them to immediately know their info was taken. You want somebody to take this information and harass them because they're, you know, gun owners. Seems like a bad idea.
Yeah. We really haven't seen these groups making the greatest of decisions.
Additionally, an Excel file in the database, as seen by HackRead, seems to contain sensitive login details of guns.com, including the administrator's WordPress, MySQL, and cloud credentials for Azure. Unclear whether, speaking of your Microsoft credentials there, Madman, unclear whether they're recent, old, or already changed. Devastating effect on the company since all admin creds, including admin emails, passwords, login links, are in plain text. And guns.com has acknowledged the breach. On January 13th, 2021, Guns published a letter to its website in which the company acknowledged the breach. However, the breach was blamed on third parties with whom they work. The company further claims there is no indication of any attempt to compromise data, yet the alleged gun.com database is currently circulating on infamous English and Russian-speaking hacker forums. I love everybody says these well-known hacking forums, and they never actually link to what they are.
I'd love to know what they are.
They're not that hard to find.
That hacker but anytime
I've ever found anything like that, it's boring as fuck.
That's the problem. Most of them are.
Okay. Well, you got to think, hacking isn't what they show on TV.
It's mostly just typing.
it's typing in command line and boring to look at.
You mean it's not me sitting there yelling enhance? Enhance.
Yeah, look at the camera and say, we're in.
Enhance. Enhance. Fuck.
The reason they decided to make Felicity Smoke blonde and hot is because what she's doing is actually boring. So now you have eye candy while she's playing hacker.
No one wants to see a real hacker fucking do their job smoking fucking cigarette after cigarette, watching fucking load bars and occasionally entering command lines.
Well, it's probably load bars, progress bars, and the second screen they're playing Quake. It's a white dude. He's probably chunky.
Drinking Mountain
Dew. Or some
dude.
Asian dude.
Madman, just because you've seen me work. No.
Not just you. I'm describing several different hackers I've met.
In this day and age, it's usually a Nintendo Switch or watching YouTube as much as it is Quake.
Yeah.
I mean, some Overwatch. Of the younger ones may be doing Fortnite. I mean, I don't want a super age gap here.
When someone tells you that they're a hacker and you just look at them like, I'm not impressed, son.
It's like, really?
It's not meant to look you cool. You don't look that cool.
It's like, so what have you done? Well, I was able to guess, you know, Buddy's Xbox password. Good for you.
Excellent.
Have you done anything
with it? The account
that
he was still logged into?
Yeah.
I'm a hacker. No.
Oh. That might be a decent way to make a little bit of money. I mean, you'd have to get lots of them to make anything, but credentials for different streaming services? Because no one would notice how many people are logged into your Netflix account until it reached some god-awful astronomical number.
Or if they start making their own like separate accounts on it.
I'll just hop into one of your profiles and click on some random thing to watch, because keep track of everything you've watched on Netflix? I don't remember everything I've watched on Netflix.
I've done my time reading other people's email. It's boring.
No, I'm just thinking of semi-free way of streaming stuff. And I'm saying semi-free because someone else is paying for it.
Well, if you want to do that, just go get one of the credit card dumps off of a paste bin.
But then I'm stealing money. They still have access to their Netflix. I'm not taking their money.
No. You just sign up for one of the free trials, because they all require a credit card, and just cancel before it ever actually gets charged. There's hundreds of them out there. So, I mean, you're just constantly rotating out, taking advantage of the free trials.
Oh, that would involve me to remember to cancel.
Maybe that's why most people don't do it. Or just use the flat-out streaming sites without dealing with it. Most of the pirate streaming sites are better. I'm just going to say that. DPView says he can't imagine being a security analyst. You know, I joke, but I was complaining the other day that 90% of my job these days is in Excel and Slack and telling other people what they need to be doing. I very rarely get to actually do real security work for my job anymore. It's all management, and it's like, damn it.
DP view, there's a reason they take their ties and shoelaces when they go into work.
Can't have them clocking out early.
That's gonna be the new thing around here, isn't it?
This is why we drink.
What's next on the list?
This next one is from 9 to 5 Mac, and it's just kind of depressing, actually. It's about one of the later, the newer scams that's showing up in iOS and Android apps, since now everybody does subscriptions.
Ooh.
Fleeceware apps have earned more than $400 million in the Play Store, new research says. Researchers have at Avast have discovered a total of 204 fleeceware apps with over a billion downloads and over 400 million in revenue on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Excuse me. This comes as Apple faces increased scrutiny over scam apps in the App Store. This is not the first time someone has highlighted scam apps in the App Store. Last month, a developer exposed multiple scam apps, some bringing in millions of dollars in revenue. That same developer is now suing Apple over its failure to police the App Store. First of all, it's important to explain what fleeceware is. It's a term that refers to a mobile app that comes with excessive subscription fees. For example, most apps include a short free trial, but these fleeceware applications take advantage of users who are not familiar with how subscriptions work on the iPhone or Android devices and charge higher fees. In a blog post, Avast explains how fleeceware scams promise free subscription trials but deliver costly charges to victims. This is the same thing like the old horoscope shit that people used to sign you up for back in the day, where somebody would call you, offer you a free trial of a horoscope thing, or not even tell you what they're really doing, and they'd just put your phone number in, and then you'd start getting, you know, $10 or $15 or $100 bills showing up on your cell phone, because now this company is charging you for some, you know, text service, and you might not even be getting it, and they would charge, you know, low amounts, hoping you wouldn't notice, so they could do it for multiple months, but it's the same scam, it's just now on the apps, so. These applications generally have no unique features and are merely conduits for fleeceware scams. Avast has reported the fleeceware applications to both Apple and Google. Avast research points to the following categories of apps as being the most prone to fleeceware. Musical instrument, palm readers, image editors, camera filters, fortune tellers, QR code, PDF readers, and slime simulators. I knew what all of these were up until slime simulator. I mean, you don't need a slime simulator. Just sneeze on your phone.
Oops.
Okay, DPView wins. He says he's seen enough hentai to know where this is going. Well, most of the apps do work. It's unlikely that a user will want to pay a significant recurring fee for them, especially when there are cheaper, even free alternatives on the market. It appears that part of the fleeceware strategy is to target younger audiences through playful themes and catchy advertisements on popular social networks with promises of free installation or free to download. By the time the parents notice the weekly payments, the fleeceware may have already extracted significant amounts of money. Avast gives a few solutions that Apple and Google should follow. First of all, the researchers think the companies should change the way subscriptions work. If a user downloads a free app with a trial, after the trial is done, the store should send an alert if the user wants to subscribe to the app and not automatically start charging right after it finishes. What? An opt-in option? No, we can't ever have that. Another option is to give a better pop-up when you delete an app that you're subscribed to. Apple and Google already alert the user when it tries to remove a subscribed app, but Avast thinks it could be better. An emerging trend is that several popular applications have converted to the subscription-based fleeceware model. Applications that were previously free or required a one-off fee to unlock all features now offer expensive weekly subscriptions. Judging by reviews, sometimes users who have previously paid for the full application are also forced into the fleeceware subscriptions without being given access to the already purchased app. It is likely more developers will follow suit as the revenue generated from fleeceware is evidently substantial.
Yeah, that is fraud.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I did a one-time purchase of an app, and then you change it to subscription. That's fraud if you start charging me the subscription. Our deal was, I give you money, you give me app. Not, I give you subscription, you give me app.
Well, now you know how everybody feels about Adobe.
Yeah, but buried on, like, the 87th page of their EULA, we may alter the deal at any time. Pray we do not alter it further.
Ah, the Veda clause.
Mm-hmm.
Avast also gives some tips to avoid the fleeceware scams. Be careful with free trials of less than a week. Read the fine print. Be skeptical of viral advertisements. Shop around. Secure your payments. Discuss the dangers of fleeceware with your family. So...
all, yeah. I'm picturing is like the 1950s kind of advert, like, fleeceware and you. Hi, Jimmy. Oh, golly gee willikers, I just downloaded this slime app. And
Well, Jimmy, have you ever seen a grown man? Anyway, okay, we're not going to make the airplane joke. We are not going to make the airplane joke. Oh, fuck. Speaking of, I mean, I mostly just wanted to call that one out. It wasn't, I mean, it was kind of new to me. It doesn't surprise me, but it's kind of the first time I've seen a name put to that. Because I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I have an iPad, I have an Android phone, and I've seen a lot of apps start going for the whole subscription model. And, you know, my first reaction is, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually really obnoxious because there's a couple of them that are pretty decent that I would like to use. For example, the one that lets you do 3D CAD modeling on the iPad, because as everyone knows, much to everyone's chagrin, I do a lot of 3D printing and talk about it incessantly. I would like to be able to do CAD on the iPad, but the only app that's worth a damn, they want $30 a month. It's like, fuck you.
Fuck you.
So
the high seas it is.
Pretty much. Oh, CAD, that makes more sense. Yeah, you're right. I mean, a lot of times CAD software is expensive, but yeah, I've been using a Libre on the desktop. That was a couple $100. It's been fine. So actually,
but it was like a one-time couple $100, right?
Yeah, it's one time, and then you get updates for a year, and then if you want to buy another year's worth of updates, I think it's like $75 or something like that. But actually, the last round of updates are pretty good. Unless it starts breaking, I don't see a need to buy updates for it. Can't be worse than IDA. Oh, no, dude. A lot of those high-end CAD models are several $1,000 for the initial buy, and then they want like another couple thousand every year.
Yeah. Go ahead and use that money that you fleece from folks. Go buy the biggest bag of dicks you can find at Showdown.
Yeah, I was going to. I'd started learning OpenSCAD, but it turns out that thing slows the fuck down when you get your models pretty complex. So that got annoying. And, I mean, FreeCAD, pretty crashy. At least I haven't tried it in a couple of versions. Apparently they've improved that, but, yeah, I don't know. IDA is like $20,000. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, some of the commercial CAD stuff is insane. Of course, everybody says use Fusion 360 for 3D printing. Fuck you. I'd like to keep my files on my computer, thanks. It's like, oh no, everything has to be in the cloud, and you can only export, and you know, everything trying to drive you to pay $50 a month. It's like, screw off. So,
but if it's in the cloud, you can access it anywhere.
I don't need to access it anywhere. I'm only 3D printing at home. That's where the printers are.
But what if you're on vacation, you know, in some nightclub in Vegas, sniffing coke off a hooker's ass and just get this great idea for, I don't know, some CD holder that you want to print?
Whip out his iPad, do a 3D scan of the hooker's ass,
and then completely forget about the CD holder. Yes. Actually, I have a 3D scanner for the iPad.
The hooker's ass is the CD holder.
I mean, you guys got it all wrong. If you're doing blow at a strip club and shit and you're still thinking about work, do more blow.
And RU wins with the comment.
Ding, ding, ding.
We have a winner. Next article is from Bloomberg. Speaking of fleeceware, thousands of Microsoft Exchange servers are still compromised after the patches.
Of course.
Called this one. Thousands of Microsoft Exchange servers are still compromised by hackers even after applying fixes, a top U.S. cybersecurity official said Monday, citing data from cybersecurity companies. Brandon Wales, acting director of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, said owners of email servers that were compromised before Microsoft issued a patch nearly 3 weeks ago must take additional measure to remove hackers from their networks. Microsoft had previously warned that patching would not evict a hacker who had already compromised a server. Quote, we remain committed to supporting our customers throughout these attacks, to innovating on our security approach, and partnering closely with governments and the security industry to help keep our customers and communities secure, a Microsoft marketing spokesperson said on Monday. Guess which word I inserted? The servers that remain compromised could be used as launching pad for criminal hacks to incite ransomware attacks on computer networks in which files are encrypted, held ransom for payment. Reports of ransomware attacks inside compromised networks so far have been sparse. Last week, Microsoft released a tool to allow owners of on-premise Exchange servers to patch the security flaws with one click, but hackers may have already breached those servers. I'm still really sad we lost the argument on naming, you know, internet bad guys hackers. Does that bother anybody else but me?
Yeah.
Well, you prefer cracker? Or
you will want to call it something else.
No, no, they're not all white, so we can't say cracker.
I was going with cracking codes rather than, you know, saltines, but
I prefer malicious intruder personally, because hacking doesn't actually mean anything, you know, but intruding into a network, that means something.
You okay, know, I could see that.
You know, penetration, you know, usually with a penetration tester, you get a report, but with a malicious penetration tester, you don't. So largely what these guys are. Or just, you know,
e-rapists.
There it is.
Think about
it.
You're at a dinner party, man. Someone, hey, Bob, what do you do? I'm a malicious penetrator. Like that, you're gonna get some looks.
That's why we start saying pen tester. It's like, well, what do you do for a living?
I
make sure the Vic works.
This through, Morps.
I'm a certified ethical penetrator.
Yeah, like you're a masseuse. What?
Do I look Taiwanese to you?
Hey, yeah, no, I don't think I want to call myself a malicious penetrator.
That's
and again,
my business card says security professional, sir. My job title is weird and convoluted, but part of it says security professional. So,
oh fuck it, dude, I'm rolling with it. Yeah, what is my friends, man, they're malicious penetrators.
Oh yeah,
I thought you won
your
argument last night already.
I hang around with a lot of malicious penetrators.
Tell your family members that one.
What do you do for fun on the weekend? Well, I maliciously penetrate things. Yeah, it's really starting to roll off the tongue, Morps. I think I'm going to keep it.
All right, good to know. But malicious penetrators may have already breached those servers.
Oh, it makes the articles better, too. Keep going.
Can sit inside computer networks even after the fix is applied. Microsoft has said the attack started with a Chinese government-backed malicious penetrator group that was accused of exploiting previously unknown vulnerabilities in Microsoft's widely used Exchange business software. About 45% of vulnerable systems have been patched over the last week, with National Security Council spokesperson said there are now fewer than 10,000 vulnerable systems remaining in the U.S., down from 120,000 at the start. So, yeah, that's just a follow-up. We knew that was going to happen. Yeah, no, you're right. Malicious penetrator is the best thing to come out of that article. We're keeping
Have
it.
Have you been maliciously penetrated today?
Go to the police and get a kit.
Oh, dude, fucking print cards up for work. Job title, head of malicious penetration unit.
I've told you that my boss, her boss, several of my coworkers, I know how that joke will go over. And hey guys, anybody need a security professional who knows what the fuck they're doing? But doesn't know when to, you know, not make jokes? Is this the last article? Yeah, last article for tonight. This is from Bleeping Computer. Cycros, or was it DPView? One of the guys in the IRC had the same story, just on a different site. It was DPView. Yeah, DPView had sent me the same article in the IRC before we started, but it was on a different site. Anyways, former IT consultant hacked a company in Carlsbad, California, and deleted almost all of its Microsoft Office 365 accounts in an act of revenge that has brought him 2 years of prison time. More than 1,200 user accounts were removed in this act of sabotage, causing a complete shutdown of the company's operations for 2 days. Oh, Lord, that's a name. Deepanshu Kher was working for an IT consulting firm that sent him to a client to help with migrating to Office 365. Following customer complaints, his employers pulled him from the task in January of 2018 and sacked him in early May. Kher kept a grudge and returned to his native country, India. On August 8th, he hacked into the Carlsbad company and deleted over 1,200 of the 1,000...
Maliciously penetrated.
You're right. I missed it. You're right. On August 8th, he maliciously penetrated into the Carlsbad company and deleted over 1,200 of the 1,500 mic. We're going to get used to it, and then like a year from now, we're going to keep saying this, and somebody's going to...
Dude, if they can start using the word underage women, then I'm maliciously penetrating.
You mean girls?
Well, you would have... No. You mean children. That's the word they're replacing with children. Underage women and underage men.
I don't want to read the articles that you're reading.
I know. Honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
And so, keep going with the story.
Back to the curry that may have maliciously penetrated someone.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, employees lost access to services that allowed them to do their jobs, emails, contact lists, meeting calendars, documents, videos, audio conferences, and Teams. Quote, outside the company, customers, vendors, and consumers were unable to reach company employees, and the employees were unable to reach them, notes a press release from the U.S. Department of Justice. Furthermore, there was no way to inform the company's clients about what had happened and when the operations would get back to normal. The Carlsbad company dealt with issues resulting from this act of sabotage for 3 months and incurred costs in the upwards of $560,000. That's, I mean, damn. Kerr has a brother who's working as an engineer in New York. He had applied for a visa that was approved in December of 2019, indicating a visit to the U.S. He took a trip more than a year later and was taken into custody on January 11th, unaware of the outstanding arrest warrant. U.S. District Court Judge Marilyn Huff sentenced Kerr to 2 years in prison, 3 years of supervised release, and paying $567,084 to the Carlsbad company that he had sabotaged. The sum represents the bills the victim paid to recover the damage. So... I mean, yeah, that's, but I mean, DPView has it correct. He maliciously penetrated the company using the original server credentials that were never changed.
Yeah.
Of course.
That's what I was going to say is.
Yeah.
So not so much a malicious penetration as just, did you see what that server was wearing?
Yeah.
For it?
God.
I think you're software blaming.
Yeah.
Software shaming. Oh, he was running Windows, the slut.
Oh my god, what a whore. Do you know how many ports that thing has?
My god, and they're all wide open.
Hot new ports in your area. Fuck. Wide open. Looking for malicious penetration in your area.
Okay, we've now determined Windows to be the sluttiest operating system.
Well, the most Puritan is Linux. The fucker never puts out.
That is not the most Puritan operating system, sir. NetBSD. NetBSD would be the most Puritan operating system.
Oh, wow.
The longest temple OS gets to remain the most cult.
Or Plan 9, I guess? Would Plan 9 be?
Damn.
I had the story on Plan 9 getting all their early stuff open source, but I didn't think anybody would care. Let's do this. I just realized that talking about malicious penetration and slutty operating systems, that might not have been the most appropriate transition.
We love you long time.
I got two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo, but I don't know how interesting anybody's going to be in them. The first one is just a great little meme site. Is that ship still stuck.com? And
please tell me it's involving an icebreaker.
No, it's involving the ship stuck in the canal. Is that ship still stuck? Yes, it is. Somebody's got the vessel finder tracker going, and they've just, if it's moved or not. So if it hasn't moved, it's stuck.
It's prior maneuvers, one of which apparently is drawing a dick.
Yeah, Yeah, they forgot about the autism-driven internet. we'll find whatever you've done in the past. That video there that I just sent through, that gives you a size scale that they're dealing with.
Oh, yeah, that's actually a pretty good-sized shipping or container ship. So
it's, from what I understand, it's one of eight that big in the world. It's, they don't build them that big anymore.
I mean, it's fully blocking a canal because it got stuck on the side, so.
Yeah, and I was reading an article last night because they're like, well, just go around the Cape Horn. And they're like, no, those ships aren't designed for that anymore. We fucking failed. Like, the cheaper option paid out, but now we're stuck with it.
And then the last thing I have for Digital Dojo tonight is not something I expect a lot of people will be terribly interested in. But a little bit of backstory. I've been reworking a lot of my 3D printers to use Clipper. And I had been using Simplify 3D as my slicer of choice for years. Well, they haven't updated the damn thing in years, and a lot of the free slicers have caught up. Now, at this point, RU has already gone to sleep on us, and Madman's eyes have crossed, so I'm trying to make it quick. But the short version is that I'm having problems with Cura, thinking that would be the right slicer to move back to. And things like seeing the layer lines and some bad profiles. And I've been dealing with it and getting them cleaned up. But reading up on some of the different forums and things like that, I have seen this guy suggested multiple times. And so Fox might be interested in it. It's called Super Slicer. And what this is somebody has forked the Prusa slicer software and added a bunch of features to it, including ironing, thin walls, dense infill, brim rework. And apparently it works much better and has built-in profiles for some of the lesser, you know, some of the modded machines, Vorons, things like that. So I thought I would throw the link out here. I thought it was interesting. I intend to start playing with this guy, at least as an alternative. That's all I've got. I don't know if anybody has any comments on anything else.
Mom, pretty good.
Apparently that is something to sneeze at, so.
When it comes to updates on those, is it just making it compatible with modern OSs, or are you getting thinner cuts, or what did they update in that?
Well, a lot of times they're adding features to the slicer, better toolpath generation, or new things that you can turn on. So, for example, in Cura, they have this thing called tree supports, which is something that the other slicers have been incorporating. Instead of doing the standard little weavy, you know, straight tower blocks, it does kind of pseudo-organic shapes coming up from the build plate. And for some models, those tree supports are a hell of a lot easier to remove than try to pick the little square supports out of something that you've printed. The other thing is ironing, where they figured out that they can move the tool head back across the model after it's printed the final top layer, you know, extruding just a little bit but not raised up at all. And it will smooth out the top of the model so that you get a smoother top finish. And, you know, a bunch of little features and things like that. And Simplify 3D hasn't seen an update in almost 3 years now, I think. At least two, probably three. And
at least on the last update of Cura that I pulled down, tree supports had come out of their experimental portion.
Yeah, it's just an option now. And they've got a bunch of other experimental options in there and things to play with. And, you know, Simplify works. It makes decent prints. Don't misunderstand me. But there's a lot of new stuff to play with in these other slicers, and they're just not keeping up. Which, admittedly, it's been several years since I bought it, but I actually paid for Simplify because at the time it was way better than everything else, but they haven't moved. So it's like everything else has kind of caught up to them, and what's the point, you know?
Have you paid your monthly subscription?
Yeah, that's you know that's where they're going. So figured it was time to jump ship on that, and the Super Slicer looks interesting, so I think that's going to be the next one I play with. Anyways, that's all I have for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it, peer decking every Thursday, the Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit, and the IRC tonight. Myself, Sardonyx, Psychros, DPView, Madman, and the Coffee Maker. Matt, Fox, closing thoughts.
Well, I'm going to go out, grab a couple beers, and do some malicious penetrating from my car.
Fancy. Madman, closing thoughts.
I haven't been war driving in a decade.
Oh, I know. I haven't either.
I don't even think it's a thing anymore, is it?
Well, the open Wi-Fi networks are a hell of a lot rarer than they used to be.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, there's still kind of a thing because you have people who turn off the security because it's easier. But
yeah, and they put their printer out there, just shared on their open network, and maybe they get, you know, 40 copies of Goatsy at full resolution.
But you're right. I haven't done war driving.
Actually, man, either. With the cost of printering, that should be a fucking felony.
Oh. I know. Like thinking back on it now, it's like, oh, that was.
That, yeah.
That was a lot of red ink.
It's kind of a dick move. All right, are you closing thoughts?
That was my closing thought. That's okay. A dick move. Don't war drive, kids. It costs a lot of money.
Oh, what if you fax somebody a piece of black construction paper? That's a dick move.
Well, that's a dick move, but faxing the entire Hobby Lobby pack of black construction paper.
Oh, man.
Do people still have non-digital fax machines these days? I haven't seen a real fax machine in years. Most of them just end up in email. It'd still be annoying and kind of funny. But, I mean.
Fox would be the last workplace to really use fax machines.
Yep, and they do.
Yep.
So, Fox, we're going to need some phone numbers, and we're going to go to Hobby Lobby and buy one of those bricks of construction paper. Well, actually, no, I'm going to do it digitally now, so now you just need Microsoft Paint and, you know, the right size file. You don't even need the construction paper anymore. I got nothing else. You guys have anything else? I'm just going to start playing sound effects.
I have nothing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Time to go nose down and call it a night.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
Shut up, Wesley.